quick. Run for your life. It's the Loot Mechanics Podcast. Beerless and Skolmas have returned from beyond space and time to wreak havoc upon all they survey while chatting sarcastically about video and tabletop gaming. With snark and poorly thought out hot takes, they may bring even the strongest man to their knees, shattering even the most stalwart sanity. Run while you still can.
Hey there, everybody. I'm Skolmas.
I'm Beerless.
So, what's been going on with you recently?
Basically, running my wife around in Guild Wars 2, helping her collect the mounts that came out in Path of Fire.
Nice.
Yep. She's got the four main from Path of Fire, and soon we're going to be going after the Griffin.
Very cool. I've just been futzing around in a variety of games. The usual stuff in Animal Crossing, as usual. Which is weird, because we bought the expansion, or I'm sorry, the DLC, which gives you a job. And I've done it, like, twice. So, yeah. That was I bought it so that I could, you know, get partitions and stuff for my own house. So I should be doing my job more. I just can't find the time. So anyway, rather than drone on endlessly, shall we move on to the first topic?
Sure.
The main topic.
So, Beerless.
Yes?
Now is the time on Loot Mechanics when we get to point and laugh at Gamigo again.
All right. What's funny this time?
Oh, well, you know how they have a bunch of games that are pretty much maintenance mode, just pull money out of them as best they can, but otherwise effectively left to sit there to die, right?
Sure.
And then they have a few that are actually make money. One of them is like Trove from what used to be Tryon Worlds before it collapsed and burned. Well, they also got their hands on the Western distribution rights that way off of the corpse of Tryon Worlds for ArcheAge, and they've been running it ever since, or at least the Western distribution. Localization, let's say. Not anymore. XL Games, the Korean company that runs ArcheAge itself, took the rights away. Yes, they gave them to Kakao. So on December 1st, if you have an account for ArcheAge under Gamigo, it gets shut down. You have to go through a process to get it moved to Kakao's servers if you wish to continue to play. Now, I guess you've got some time afterwards before they actually delete them. There's a whole article on this, which I linked, that over at Massively Overpowered, that points you to everywhere you need to go on what you need to do. But yeah, in the end, Gamigo lost one of their big money makers.
See, I've never had any interest in trying this game. It looks like, you know, it's kind of one of these games like Aeon. I just can't be bothered to even try it.
Well, yeah, because it's in the same, it's a Eastern style MMORPG, similar art style, similar gameplay, all that. And I didn't, I mean, I've tried it. And it has some appealing parts to it, but I found it fun enough, at least in the early game, but it wasn't fun enough for me to invest that much time into when there were other games that I preferred. And that's fine. It just isn't for me. It isn't for you. But for the people who do enjoy it and who do love this game, now they're going to have hoops to jump through. And that's unfortunate. But at the same time, I don't know anything about this other company, Kakao. I hope I'm saying that properly. It's just, I've never heard it said. This is how it's spelled, and that's how it seems to be pronounced. Maybe I'm wrong.
K-A-K-A-O.
K-A-K-A-O. Kakao. Maybe it's Kakao. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Point is, they done Gamigo dirty. Did them raw. And you know what? I love it. Because from the beginning, XL Games seems to have had a problem with the way the localization has been being done in the West. When Trion Worlds had it, they wanted to do it differently and whatnot, and it just really wasn't the same game as what they're doing over in Korea. And then Gamigo takes over because they got the rights off of the corpse of Trion Worlds, like I said, and they basically ran it as a cash cow. And now it's time for the rights to come up again. Well, no. Western localization goes elsewhere. Goes this other company. Hopefully, this other company will do it better. Hopefully, they won't just be looking to use the players as ATMs, as a something to just draw money out of. Now, I know it's a business. Every company wants to make a profit, but you need to actually make the player experience worthwhile at the same time. That's always been my
concept.
Problem. I know, right? I play a lot of free-to-play games, right? And there are free-to-play games that actually provide reasonable content for the money. And there are free-to-play games that are just looking to rip off players. And everything out of Gamigo is the latter. And I hate to say that because Rift is in that group. And I love Rift, but I haven't played Rift in like 6 months because I just can't stand to log into the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I try, and it's even more soul-sucking than jumping into Lord of the Rings Online. And that is saying something. Anyway, would you care to point and laugh at Gamigo?
Well, it sucks for them, but they brought it on themselves.
Bingo.
I mean, what else is there to say?
They just got to... I know that this is their reputation. That they're like the publisher of last chance for MMORPGs. They pick up the games that are just about to die, and they sit there and they run them in maintenance mode until they finally go under, except for the very few that are actually profitable, in which they do occasionally do some updates and put some money into. But effectively, they're just a massive pile of free-to-play games that are just cash shops. And okay, if that's how they want to run their business, fine. But it makes me wonder if part of the reason why they lost the rights isn't that they weren't doing the development, because they weren't. Basically, this is just a Western localization. They're getting what XL Games made, and they just changed it over to English or whatever European languages they want to convert it to, right? Spanish, French, German, whatever, right?
All right.
And so they don't even have to do the damn development itself, right? Maybe that's why it's so successful. It actually is getting updates. I don't know. But the thing is, they have this reputation as publisher of last resort. And so when people go and look at the, you know, in the West and go looking for games, they look and they see ArcheAge is being published by Gamigo over here. For a lot of people, that's a no-go. That's a, you know what? I know the sort of games they put out. Thanks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself hurts ArcheAge's overall brand. Something that I'm pretty certain XL Games simply cannot abide. Now, I know a lot of people, especially over in their, in the Asian countries and whatnot, over in the East, are going to look at it and go, you know what? Yeah, no. They don't think about the Western localization. But if there's a bad stigma about the game in the rest of the world, they want to make that money. They want to get a profit off of, you know, that licensing. And if they ain't getting their cut, then yeah, it's time to put it with a fresh company. Somebody new. Somebody who isn't tainted, to put it mildly. I mean, I could be wrong on that, obviously. I'm not, but I could be wrong.
So what you're saying is you're not interested in their taint.
I am not interested in their taint. No, sir.
Hmm. That's unexpected.
You are rude, sir. I do not appreciate that. But you did make my wife laugh. She only heard half the joke, but...
No way.
You could hear his side?
Yeah.
Ah, this is the curse of wearing open-back headphones. She can hear what you say.
Aha. Open back headphones to go with your open back shoes, huh?
That didn't even make sense. I mean, if you're going to insult me, at least make it make sense. Or am I just too stupid to understand what you meant?
The latter.
Right, okay. So you keep telling yourself that, Sparky.
All from the same apples.
See? See? She has my back.
Mm-hmm.
There's a knife in it, but she has my back. I'm sorry. I think we might make her pee herself.
No. Heart attack.
Let's not. Anyway, so it's not great when it comes down to Gamigo, but nah. My worry, if I have any worry about this whatsoever, I don't think this will happen. But if this hurts Gamigo enough, they may have to either close a bunch of games or sell them off. And selling them off is the less likely of the two. And I haven't played Rift in a while, let alone Trove. But if Gamigo goes under, or has to shut down a bunch of games, that might go badly for some games I used to enjoy. Not a good thing. And nobody wants
normally
to see, yeah, nobody wants to see a game company go under. Then again,
depends upon the game company.
It is Gamigo. And they're not exactly, well, you know what? They're not Daybreak. So there's that. Daybreak was a, I think since they're out of business, I can go ahead and say this, but a front for the Russian mob. As far as I know, they're not anyway. So there's that. I don't think I got us sued right there, but I'm
fairly
certain.
What's this, us, dude?
You're on this too, dude.
I didn't say a damn thing.
Anyway, worst case scenario, although I don't think it would happen, but worst case scenario, Gamigo goes out of business and all their games shut down. Of course.
Oh, somebody would buy up Trove.
Yes. Trove is, as far as I know, still making money. Every time I look, it has a new update out. It is getting content. They are doing stuff with the game. So that's something. One of my dogs is barking in his sleep. That was cute. Anyway, I don't think a game company as big as Gamigo, though, can stay alive with just Trove. I don't think that's their only profitable company game left. But losing ArcheAge is kind of a huge deal. Because as far as I know, that was probably the biggest thing they had from Trion Worlds. That and Trove were their two big moneymakers. It sure wasn't Rift. More's the pity, because that's the best game of the three. But what do I know? I've just been playing these games for 20 years. But sorry, I'm a bitter little guy about this. Trion Worlds should have been bigger than Blizzard. Rift should have been bigger than World of Warcraft. Should have been. That's neither here nor there. Gamigo did it no favors and has effectively forgotten the game exists, except for to pull money out of the cash shop every month.
Yep.
Same with Trion World. I mean, same with Trove. Except for they actually do stuff with it. But as far as I can tell, Trove isn't exactly super hard to create content for. It's all voxels. It's not exactly graphics intensive, you know? At ArcheAge,
yep.
They just had to translate it and post up that to their servers. They weren't even doing the development. So that's just free money for them, effectively. I'm sure there are some people who will jump into the comments. Well, if anyone actually listened to this, I'm sure there might have been, theoretically, would be people who would jump in there and defend Gamigo. Gamigo fanboys. There might be actually three of them in the whole world. Some of them, maybe two, are actually developers for Gamigo. Oh, wait, does Gamigo actually have developers? I'm sure there's a few.
Well, they may have an IT guy.
Somebody. Anyway, yeah, they may point in, no, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Of course I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm an idiot on the internet. But I do know one thing. Gamigo lost one of their cash cows.
You enjoy that far too much.
Oh, yes. I've been waiting all week to talk about this one. Because, sorry, it's just too funny. It is. Unfortunately, there's nobody to take the rights to Trove and Rift away from them. Because that would be funny.
I was just kind of hoping that they would actually get the next MMO based on Lord of the Rings. You know, bring that out and it'd be a great game, but I think that got canceled, didn't it?
Yeah, that was Amazon Game Studios.
Yeah, well.
So actually, maybe that's a good thing. Separate story, but that it got canceled because, you know, well, AGS isn't exactly doing MMOs well right now. So, of course, Gamigo might have, you know, been the sort that would have, if it had come out and stalled, they would have been this type that would have bought it, not developed for it, and just let it sit there and pull money out of.
Tabletop Gaming News.
So, Bielus.
Yes.
Did you hear a little bit about this Atomic Arcade?
Yeah. wondering what exactly it's going to be. I mean, it looks like it's kind of a blanket name for a whole bunch of somewhat related concepts.
Yeah. Well, all we know at the moment, as of this recording, which is, you know, 10 days prior to you actually hearing this, is that Atomic Arcade is coming from Wizards of the Coast, the folks behind Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons, among other things. They filed for a trademark for that name, and per the trademark application, it will be a platform that is for downloadable electronic games to be used in connection with computers, console gaming devices, and wireless devices, fantasy role-playing games, board games, trading card games, and collectible toy figures, also entertainment services, namely providing online computer games and interactive multiplayer online computer games via a global network. So basically, kind of sounds like they're mixing D&D Beyond with a virtual tabletop and possibly a platform for downloading video games such as, oh, you know, Magic the Gathering Arena, for example, kind of like their own version of Battle.net. That's also a virtual tabletop and D&D Beyond, effectively, because it's looking like D&D Beyond is kind of getting ready to go under anyway. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad I didn't invest in D&D Beyond.
Yes, that's true. Because
they wanted full price for digital books, and fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah, no thank you. But
I'm just wondering how they're going to handle this, because they need to do it right, and they need to do it well. Otherwise, it's going to fail miserably.
Well, I'm hopeful that Wizards of the Coast will do it right, because they know that there are people in their same zip code, basically, Paizo, for example, who are doing it right, quote unquote. At least when it comes to a D&D Beyond clone, Paizo just created their own version of D&D Beyond for Pathfinder. They were using one of the founders of D&D Beyond. He came over when he left D&D Beyond and is now running their new service. So, if I recall, a while back, I mean months and months and months, maybe even a year or so ago, other people have left D&D Beyond, and some of them went to Wizards of the Coast. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. If so, would not shock me at all if at the very least that's what they're going for. Also, keep in mind, DriveThru RPG, they run, or the company that owns DriveThru RPG runs the DMs Guild, which is a service that they run that allows people to use official assets and whatnot to create digital books for D&D 5th edition and sell them on that online platform, and they get a cut, and DM's Guild gets a cut, which also gives Wizards of the Coast a cut, right? Storytellers Vault is the same way. There's a bunch of different companies doing the same thing now, right? I think Storytellers Vault was the first. or vampire, you know, basically World of Darkness stuff, effectively, right? Well, a lot of people have said that it sounds like Wizards of the Coast just wants to bring this all home. Bring their, take that, the DM's Guild, effectively, bring that in-house. Take D&D Beyond, effectively, clone that, bring that service in-house. Who needs people to use a virtual tabletop? That's money that could be going to World's Wizards of the Coast. Bring that stuff in-house. Hell, maybe they just buy a virtual tabletop and bring it in-house. They've got the money for it. And of course, a digital distribution service, which effectively a Steam-like service.
Because they want to run games on there.
Right. So they could do all these things. And that's why I could see Atomic Arcade working, because it's open-ended. It allows them to do whatever they want.
I'm just tentative. I'm worried that they're going to screw this up.
Oh, they absolutely could. I mean,
so don't buy into it for the first year.
I probably won't buy into it. I won't buy into it at all, most likely. I mean,
depends. If they're hosting games on there that I like, sure.
Well, what I would like to see, I mean, when it comes to video games, like if they create a new game based on D&D that you can buy the computer game off that service, sure, I might buy it. If that's the only place I could get it, fine. Let's just say that. But I was thinking more, I would like to see a value added to this. Let's say it doesn't come out until they put out
fixed edition.
Yeah, the next edition, right? Whether it's 5.5, 6th, 50th,
right, anniversary,
whatever they want to call it. The new D&D. Whenever that comes out, they put it out in combination with it. Maybe those books can be sold with a code. And you put this code into this service. There's your PDF. And it gives you the digital version. And or it gives you the digital version on their version of D&D Beyond.
Right. That would be good.
That would be such a reason to buy these books now. Because suddenly, oh, fuck, I have all this usefulness available to me. I can, you know, hell yeah. Well, I was already going to buy the new edition anyway. But every time they put out a update, you know, something that adds new player stuff, new races and classes and subclasses and all that good stuff, damn right I'd buy it, because you get all that extra value added. Now, I'm sure they're not hurting for people buying this stuff anyway, but that's always been a problem. They go, oh, well, you know, if I got to go and buy this, the physical book, but if I want the digital book, I have to buy it separately somewhere. And if I want to use it in D&D Beyond, I have to buy it separately. Oh, wait, if I want to use it in my virtual tabletop, I have to buy it separately again. It's ridiculous. So it limits book sales. So if people are just a player, right, and they don't feel a need to buy the physical book exactly because they do all their playing on their virtual tabletop, let's say Roll20. Right? So they just buy the book there so that they have access to it on the online so that they can do their character up online. That's hurting Wizards of the Coast. They're missing out on a book sale. But if they put it all together, all they have to do is raise the price of the book, of the physical book, slightly. Let's say $10. Would you pay $10 more if it meant you got all that extra added content for each one of the books?
If their virtual tabletop sucks, no, I wouldn't be happy. But if it's amazing, most definitely.
Well, sure. That's why I was saying maybe they just buy one that's established and just include it as part of Atomic Arcade. It's just tied into the program all together. In fact, it'd just be one of the games you could download. Hmm? One of the programs you could download. But, ooh, it's all tied together. So when you punch in the book, bam, there's your code. There's your, the book is now in your virtual tabletop, and here's your digital version, and good to go. And if they bring in DM's Guild or something like it, now they get all this homebrew thrown in there, and they can sell it and give half to the actual person who created it.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see all of the old D&D based games, like Eye of the Beholder and all those others that came out. I'd like to see those as, you know, you just log on to the service and you can play for free that game or one of those games from there.
That'd be pretty fairly badass.
Ancient games, but they were a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to do a whole lot to, you know, clean them up. Just, you know, make them playable.
I think some of them were DOS, that required DOS. And that doesn't work in the most recent versions of Windows. So that might require some work. But there has to be a way around it. There has to be something to do. So, you know, a DOS emulator or something to make it happen.
That would be cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they could even go so far as to all of the Wizards of the Coast games, you know, even the latest battle game. I can't remember what it was called, but it was based off like Drizzt Do'Urden and his group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
That dumpster fire of a game. You could put that on there too.
Well, then you get into rights issues with the distribution services that are currently through Steam, Epic, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But once those run out, absolutely, bring them in-house. Just keep bringing stuff in-house, you know?
And you could make it so, you know, hey, if you want access to this part of the service, it's going to be, you know, $10 a month, $5 a month, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Or just sell those old games for $1.
Sure.
You know, the recent games, you could sell them for, you know, standard price.
Mm-hmm. And that way you're not competing.
And you bring in things like the original Neverwinter Nights and whatnot. There's so many different options for games you could bring in. Plus, oh, how do we make this work? I don't know. Something simple. Like I said, buy out a virtual tabletop, right? Let's say Fantasy Grounds, for example. Mm-hmm. Buy that puppy outright and integrate it. I'm not saying that's the best option. I'm just using an example. You could also buy a current distribution service, such as Epic. Just buy Epic. I don't mean the Epic Game Store. I mean buy Epic. Buy the whole company. Fortnite and all. Oh, but Wizards of the Coast doesn't have that kind of money.
Hasbro does.
Exactly. Hasbro is massive. Hasbro could absolutely make this happen. Would they?
Oh, no.
Probably not. Could they? Yeah. It's a little pie in the sky, but at the same time, if Hasbro looks at this and goes, you know, D&D is fine. It's a great brand. Magic Gathering is great. It's a nice brand. Wizards of the Coast is a nice brand. But if we can fold that all into this integrated gaming service that does all these other things as well, wow. And we'd have our own development house. Ah, maybe that's worth it. Especially when Fortnite is printing money. Would it be expensive? Fuck yeah. Would it maybe take a hostile takeover? Maybe. Is it the best thing for D&D? Probably not. But it's entirely possible. And unfortunately, all we can do is speculate right now.
Yep, because it's just a trademark application.
Yeah.
Which is vague at best.
At best. Because they like to go and just shotgun when you do this sort of thing. You just try and make it as vague as possible, but within a certain scope, which seems contradictory, but it does make sense in the overall thing. They don't want it to be too specific.
Because then the secret's out and everybody's going to be expecting this one thing.
Right. And they need to stay within that wheelhouse. But if they make it generalized, but still about video games and tabletop games and, you know, their general wheelhouse for Wizards of the Coast, great. Perfect.
And, you know, one thing they could do with this is they could also have kind of like a Reddit board where you've got, you know, for collectibles thrown in there. So all these people who like, you know, one of the things you mentioned was collectible toy figures.
Yeah.
People could be, you know, hey, I've got this. I'm willing to part with it, you know, and then get responses from other people who are interested.
Basically a trading board that's also forums.
Yeah.
Effectively.
It could even go so far as to being another type of social media.
Yeah. Effectively. It's its own little geek media place. Reddit, only not insane. Also, it's interesting. They said collectible toy figures. That almost makes me want to think, you know, it's Hasbro. Star Wars figures. Well, I know that's not Wizards of the Coast, but
doesn't matter. It's Hasbro.
Sure.
They can say, hey, as long as we're doing this, let's, you know, let's put some of this other stuff in there as well.
Yeah.
So we're getting a little more something-something for the deal.
Yeah. Kind of like how Activision keeps slipping in Activision games into Battle.net, which had always been a Blizzard distribution service. They keep putting Call of Duty games on there. So, yeah. I honestly hope that this is successful, that it's a good product, whatever it is, and that it does turn out to be some really cool D&D and Magic the Gathering supporting service.
A virtual. Well, and the fact that they're staying away from one brand with the name Atomic Arcade, that tells me it's not just a D&D platform. It's not just a Magic the Gathering platform. It's everything together.
But they've got more in store.
They could have been called Geek Central and they would have been just the same.
Yeah, exactly. It shows that they have not just new products in mind coming from Wizards of the Coast, but that there's Hasbro's looking long term with Wizards of the Coast, that they're looking at, hey, look, you're not just D&D, you're not just Magic the Gathering. We have more in store for you, and we are going to stick with you for the long term. Because hell, just a year ago, people were theorizing that they were going to sell Wizards of the Coast to Paizo, that there was no future, that Hasbro saw no future for D&D. Now, how stupid does that sound just a year later?
Well, considering how successful D&D's been and Magic the Gathering's been, it's kind of ridiculous to think that to begin with, but, you know, people speculate all kinds of stupid things.
They certainly do. Of course, we're two of those stupid people, so...
Well, obviously.
Wrapping things up.
So, Bielus, that's about all we got for today. Do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Not a lot. I guess I'm just looking forward to getting, you know, my hands on the expansion for Guild Wars 2.
That comes out, what, early next year?
Yeah, I think it's like January, February.
Nice. Now, before we go, there is one thing I wanted to mention briefly. It's another Kickstarter project, and I'm kind of interested in it personally, but it's kind of exploded, gone insane, and that's Cyborg.
And Cyborg is?
Well, you know your Merc Borg, right? I've talked about it a few times.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome. This is basically same system or compatible system, just instead of apocalyptic fantasy, doom metal, hit you in the face with a shovel type game. It's apocalyptic, nano-infested, doomsday, cybernetic, cyberpunk, dystopian nightmare, hit you in the face with a shovel, doom metal game. It takes the nihilism of cyberpunk and cranks it up to infinity, and then hits you in the face with a shovel. It is really, really awesome. Now, the Kickstarter ends on December 1st, so there's not a whole lot of time for y'all to jump on board. But it has already met its goal, which really wasn't hard. It met its goal in just over 2 minutes. As of the time of our recording this, it is nearly 30 times its the goal. And it's just going up. Keep in mind, this is like 10 days before. We're recording like 10 days before you hear this. So, it's just going nuts. They blew through all the stretch goals on the first day and been adding more. It's ridiculous. So, if you like Merc Borg, you've probably already heard of this, and you've probably already backed it. If you've heard of Merc Borg but never really tried it, but you really like science fiction instead of fantasy, this is your game. If you haven't heard of Merc Borg, what the fuck is wrong with you? Obviously, you don't listen to me, because I talk about it all the fucking time. I'm sitting here watching its Kickstarter, and it just keeps growing. Remember when we started during the pre-show?
Mm-hmm.
I talked about how much it had gained so far in the, 2 hours that we've been recording shows, basically, almost three. It's gone up nearly $5,000. That's almost half of the original goal. It has 16 days to go as of recording this. So yeah, I'm pretty sure It's a success. Anyway, I backed it. You should too. Just a thought. So anyway, that's all I got. Till next time, I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
You didn't listen, did you? Now, look at you. You are an absolute mess. But at least you survived to gibber and moan before our masters and overlords, Beerless and Scummers. Be sure to tremble under their baleful eye as you give this podcast a great review on the podcast service of your choice, or leave a nice comment over on their website, scummy.com. While you are there, check out all the other content they offer, and don't forget to join the Discord server. If you don't, they will know, and they will seek vengeance.